Okay, good morning. I just went over to, where's Gabe? He's in kids. I was like, it's the 27th barbecue? She's like, he's making up numbers. I don't know. Just come to the barbecue, okay? Okay, well, good morning. Us Manalis are going to be sharing with you this morning. Okay, so new and old friends alike, I thought I would take this opportunity to teach you how to say our last name. So our last name is spelled M-A-N-A-L-A-L-L-I. But the clue in there for how to pronounce our name is the A-L-L, all. Manali. So everyone say Manali. It's okay. At least I won't let you. I'm not going to test you on. I'm still going to love you if you call us anything else. At least we won't have you saying my middle name. Okay. So, well, did you guys enjoy the sun yesterday? Our summer? So this morning, our message was already preached. We already had an altar call. Literally, that is like where we ended with new wine, which I actually asked Tanner to sing this morning. And we're going to sing it at the end as a response. And then Dennis comes up and he gives like a, hey, we need to respond to this right now. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is our whole message. And then he has us all stand and respond to it. And I'm like, I need to respond to this too. So I'm standing up. So I just want to let you know the word that we're bringing this morning is a word for us as well. Amen. We're going to be talking about new wine and the wineskin. So first of all, I want to welcome you if this is for everyone that calls this place your home, but if you're a new visitor, if this is your first time, I want to welcome you. If you're just checking us out, I want to welcome you. And hopefully if there's peace in your heart to call this place home, we would love for you to call this place home and be our family. So I'm excited, like I said, to share with my favorite person on the planet, my husband. And we're sharing a somewhat familiar passage. Our hope is to share a perspective on the scripture that invites you into the hope of the gospel. I actually don't think it'll be a really long talk. And at the end, like I said, we're going to have a time to respond and we'll bring the worship team back up. But I want to bring us to our scripture that we're going to be sharing, which is Mark. Oh, good, it's not too small. Mark 2, 18 through 22, it says, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and they came and said to him, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, while the groom is with them, the attendants of the groom cannot fast, can they? As long as they have the groom with them, they cannot fast, but the days will come when the groom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, otherwise the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear results. And no one puts new wine into old wineskin, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskin. Okay, so for me, probably the most known teaching for me and maybe for some of us in this room concerning this scripture or how it's brought up a lot of the time is that the wine is this new, innovative, heavenly revelation that's coming to the church, and the wineskin is the new way that we structure church. Has anyone heard that message before? Is that something that you're familiar with? Okay, like the wineskin is the new way we do church, right? So if you're in a mega church, you do home church. If you're in home church, you do a mega church. Maybe there's like techno and disco church, which is actually a thing. We had some friends down in Florida, and they were just like, we got a new wineskin. It's disco. Techno church. And so we're like, what in the world? We watched a live. We're like, what is happening over there? And they got lights going on and everyone has sunglasses on. It's like, nts, 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 nts. We're like, okay, that's cool. So that passage might be familiar to us in that way. There's also several other ways of looking at that scripture. But instead today, we want to explore the possibility of the wine being the good news of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and that the wineskin is being us, our worldview, and our life. Does that make sense? Okay. When we isolate any of the any verses, sometimes we can make them to mean certain things, which is why we want to go back to the chapter and read to understand the context, right? So Jesus is responding to John's disciples after they ask a question, which is in 18. Okay, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. They came up and they said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but yours don't?" And then he answers the actual question with the next verse, right? While the groom is with them, and then verse 20. Then he says the verses that we're gonna go into, which is, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, otherwise the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear results, and no one puts a new wine into old wineskins. Okay, so the verse that we're talking around with the wine and the wineskin is actually like he already answered the question, but then he adds on this other thing. And so sometimes we can look at verses and kind of like isolate them and make them to mean our own thing. We put them on a meme, we put them on a reel, we put them on an Instagram post, and we get into our feels about it or whatever. But like Jesus had that attached to a conversation that is still relevant to us today. So those verses right there, 21 and 22, they're addressing the mindset that John's disciples and we would need in order to understand not only Jesus's response to their questions right then, but the mindset they need in order to understand the life of Jesus and the new life of his followers. So these passages are still speaking to us today. Do you believe that? Is still speaking to us today. And so Jay's going to share a little bit more on that. Oh, are we sharing a mic? Okay, here you go.
Yeah, hey, thank you. Good morning. My favorite person on the planet, 100%. Mr. Manali. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. Yeah, that's. Thanks for walking us through that little lesson this morning. My name is, last name has been like systematically destroyed over, you know, the Menudo, like there's no D in my last name. How did, you know, anyway, substitute teachers, right? Yeah, thank you, Lord. I love, you and Mariah nailed it this morning. We worshiped the message this morning. And most of you know, and some of you don't, Mariah and I are both firstborns, and we're both PKs. We're both pastors' kids, right? So we both, so which makes for an interesting conversations at times, and a wonderful mix, right? And so a lot of times we'll have conversations about things, and in our curiosity and our musings around this, you know, this passage of scripture, growing up in the church, it actually took us to a place of discovery of like, what was Jesus actually talking about here? And just to step back for a second, you know, the three-part answer that he gave in a response of fasting, where I don't necessarily want to talk about fasting as a whole, because it's a massive subject this morning, but one aspect of fasting implies longing. There's a longing in us, right? And so we empty ourselves in the natural to be filled more in the spiritual, right? That because there's something greater that we're actually looking for in terms of our nourishment that only comes from on high. And so what I believe he's, the answer to this question, I believe, is comes in the context of longing. Because he first says, why would the guests of the bridegroom wouldn't long while they have him with them, right? They'll long once they go away. And then he says, you don't put an old patch on a new patch on old garments, which I believe Jesus is the new patch. What is he saying? You can't take me and stretch me out over your current theology, because it's not going to work. He's also saying you don't put new wine to an old wineskin, because the same thing is happening. We need new wine and a new wineskin. Why? Because Jesus typically came in a package that people were not expecting, right? He was constantly, if you want to say it this way, letting people down because they couldn't see him as the Messiah. So we needed to actually have new eyes to see the new wine that was the one that they'd been longing for. Like, what's he basically saying? The time of longing is like, I'm right in front of you, right? So we need a new heart to receive the wine of Jesus, and we need a new actually mental mindset and a wineskin to receive him, which I think is, anyway, vital to our understanding. So in our discovery, and things that Mariah and I were talking, looking at, when in our research and things that we were looking at as far as teachings, I came across some teaching by a guy named Sam Whitaker. And I really liked the way he took the time to actually break down fermenting in terms of ancient days, 2,000 years ago, the process of fermentation, and then actually the spiritual connotations of what that looks like in terms of what Jesus is actually saying here. And so wine was central to ancient cultures, right? Wine's been around for a long time. And for a lot of people, your choices of drink were like warm goat's milk. No thanks, right? Have you ever had goat's milk? Okay, yeah, no thank you. Or maybe stale water that isn't clean, right? Or wine. So if those are your choices, which one would you take? You take the wine, right? Because there's at least it's been through some sort of process. Modern day wine, we have that slide. Modern day wine, right? Or yogurt, sauerkraut, anything that's been through a kombucha, anything that's been through that type of process, you go to the store and we pick it off the shelf, right? We'd actually don't, unless you're a home fermenter of anything, most of us just go to the shelf and go to the store and pick these things off the shelf. It's already gone through process and we get the finished product. Well, in the ancient world, they didn't have our technological advances that we have today in terms of fermentation. And so in the past, a lot of it was done by hand, right? Hand and foot of like crushing and squashing the grapes. And then once that was done in terms of wine, the wine was transferred to either a clay pot or an animal skin. And what happens in, and I found this fascinating, so I'm going to share this with you guys. What happens, if you don't know what happens in fermentation, the yeast consumes the natural sugars in the grapes and turns it into alcohol. So the living potential in the grape interacts with the living yeast in its environment and creates something completely brand new. And the result of that is a ton of CO2 gas as a byproduct that's released, right, if you've done any kind of fermenting. So in the ancient world, how about the next slide? Okay. Here's a picture of a wineskin in the ancient world. An entire goat skin would be used, the whole thing. Can you see that? Yeah. Pretty gruesome looking thing, isn't it? I mean, pretty nasty. But this is what they would use to put wine. It looks a lot different than what we would use for today. In this case, the entire goat skin was used and was filled with the wine. And then what would be actually happening is the wine pushes into every nook and cranny, stretching and reshaping the skin into a completely new shape. And this could only be done once, right? So an animal skin could not be reused, could not be recycled over and over. It had one shelf life and then it was beat. It wouldn't be able to go through the process of expansion anymore. Old wineskins wouldn't have the give or the flexibility to accommodate new wine and the expanding gases. And when Jesus told us, like, honestly, sometimes we read this, I'm like, Jesus, what are you talking about? In the ancient world, this was not something profound or obscure. This was actually very ordinary, very common. Nobody would do this, is what Jesus is saying, right? If anyone's, you wouldn't put, this guy, Sam gave an example, sauerkraut is cabbage and salt. Simple, right? I don't like sauerkraut, but so who cares, right? The point is, you wouldn't put it in a glass jar and close the lid. So what would happen? It'd explode. So you'd lose the sauerkraut, you'd lose the jar, you'd lose everything. It'd be pointless to do that, right? So if anyone's ever done, has anybody ever tried to ferment anything and had this? Okay, right? What did you get? Explosions? You get mess, you get lost product. You can hold a seminar or a session maybe later on how to, a fermentation process. But basically what Jesus is saying, you wouldn't take, because of the way the gas naturally expands and transforms the shape of the skin, you'd only be able to do this once, and nobody would, it'd be foolish and dangerous to even try to do this. Why? Because you'd lose both. You'd lose the skin and the wine. An interesting note about wineskins is that they would smoke them. So they would take, can you put that picture back up? Yeah, there it is. So they would take, it's not pictured here, they'd take the wineskin, tie it up with rope, and hold it over a fire and smoke it. And the purpose of the smoke would be to mature. The smoking process would be to serve to mature, to purify, and then perfect the taste of the wine. So think about that again. Think about this from a discipleship standpoint, if you will, for a second. If the Lord is our winemaker, are we willing to actually sit in the smoke long enough to let the gospel, his presence, his word mature us, purify us, and perfect us to taste? So that when people see, when Jesus said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." How about in a similar way that when people see us, they see Jesus? There's no shortcuts to that. As I've been thinking about this, like, man, am I willing to sit in the smoke? Some of us have been sitting in the smoke for a while. Some of this might be a new concept, but are we actually willing to cultivate oil in our lamps, actually take the time to sit with his word, sit in his presence, listen for his voice? We live in a instant culture. We have got instant access. We've got a lot of things that compete for our attention, even the busyness of summer. I've got projects that we're doing in the yard. We got a lot of fun things we're doing. And I want to be able to cultivate a life that my worldview, my mindset, my wineskin sits in the smoke long enough to absorb Jesus. Because the point here, I think I've got a quote that's worth putting up here. The wine of the gospel of the kingdom can't be poured into my old worldview or wineskin. The life of Christ, maybe we haven't, maybe we don't, that's okay. The life of Christ is fermenting in me and won't be forced into a pre-existing shape. It requires something brand new, ready to be shaped by it. So our favorite, so let's even take it a little bit further. Our favorite ideologies, our worldviews, our political affiliations, pursuits of wealth, promotion, other idols, anything else that we put above Jesus, they can't be the primary drivers in our lives and then expect to pour Jesus into them. He's not an add-on to them. He wants to be the shaper of them. The gospel must be primary. We can't allow other beliefs or ideals to shape the gospel. The gospel must be the agent that shapes all of our ideals. How do we do this? We get into his word. We spend time. We have to be able to slow down. And I admit it feels counterintuitive. There's lots to do, good things to do. We've got work. We've got responsibilities. We've got things that we want to enjoy. But are we willing to take the time to actually sit down and cultivate a relationship with him to receive him? Because a lot of times we're singing about it this morning. You make all things new. Am I willing to actually sit long enough to even think, be aware of what that is when it comes? And again, there's no shortcuts to that. And so what I would propose to you or just share with you briefly is that how do we do this? Remember that he is the chief cornerstone, according to Psalm 118. According to John 14, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. In Matthew 7, Jesus at the end of his discourse of chapters 5, 6, and 7, he said, "A house built upon a rock..." That's how we become wise, when we actually take his words and put them into practice. That's how we become people that are wise and build on the rock that is the foundation, that is that who he is in the obedience to his word. And I believe that this is we're talking really this morning about worldviews and these things, but actually I think this, we're talking really about discipleship formation, spiritual formations and discipleship. Can I sit with Jesus long enough? Can I absorb his word? Can I understand new revelation and actually the truths of the gospel, that it constantly shapes me so that my wineskin bends around it? Because if I try to do anything else, it doesn't work. Have we tried to fill our wineskins with anything but Jesus and come up empty? Anyone else try that besides me? Yeah, it doesn't work, right? And anything else that we try to contain him, if it's already been stretched, it'll burst. And so I believe this morning, today, what we're really talking about, I'm going to turn this over to my wife, is spiritual formations and discipleship. Sitting with Jesus long enough to let him teach me. Because a lot of times, the newness, we have to be ready for the new. I thought about this as an example, right? I mean, Jesus came in a package that they didn't expect most of the time. Think about it. If we had, here's an opposite situation. If we had somebody running for governor of Alaska and they said, I think we should get rid of the PFD. I think we should not cultivate our resources anymore or develop oil and outsource everything. Right? Think about that. What would you say? Are you an Alaskan? Are you even from here? I mean, do you even know? That's so preposterous. Nobody would vote for that person, right? In the same way, Jesus, there were so many times where people, it said that even his own family was offended because of him. Why? Because they're like, how could you claim to be the Messiah? You know, we know who you are, dude. We know your family. Like, they had a whole pre-consisting worldview and mindset towards how the Messiah would come. And now he's standing right in front of them and they couldn't see him. So it's easy for us to have hindsight and look back at them and be like, you ding-dongs, you had Jesus right in front of you. Well, today, same thing could be true of us, right? I've heard it said that Christ in me destroys every excuse. Think about that for a second. He transcends our personality profiles, my preferences, whether or not I'm an introvert or extrovert. All that stuff has to come below the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, you know, our desire really is to invite you, challenge us in a way to actually slow down and cultivate the wine that is Jesus. Am I willing to actually take the time and sit in the smoke and allow myself and my life to be shaped by the gospel instead of trying to do things the other way around?
It's a testimony.
Personal testimony. I went through a situation, I'll leave names and certain things out because it involved work and some colleagues. I went through a situation last year that was very personally painful. It was very costly. It felt very misunderstood and very marginalized, and something that I actually believed in very deeply. But I realized that what was happening wasn't, I knew God was doing something in me that was important, that I needed to not miss the lesson, and that I was actually part of something bigger that I actually had to embrace. Because if I just took it personally, I'd be missing everything and then really misbehaving as an employee. And so I took the time to have several conversations with my boss and with others to get to a point where I could actually hear the word of the Lord sit long enough. And it was probably about 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, where I needed to hear the word of the Lord to get me to move in the direction that he needed me to move in, because that the thought of that wasn't what I wanted to do or what I wanted to choose. So I had to sit long enough and actually hear his voice and see his face, get his voice, and actually get my heart to a good place that I could move in according to his will. So I'm being vague on purpose. Hopefully that helps. Anybody get what I'm talking about? Okay. All right, good. So I'm talking to the right people. So we got to be willing to go there, because this is how we mature. This is how our wineskin becomes fragrant in the nature of Jesus. So that when life squeezes us, it's Jesus that sprays out, not our flesh or not anything else, right? Now, that's a kind of a strange picture, but think about it. Because we're all going to get squeezed at some point. And the nature of, we want Jesus to be coming out, because it's not just about us, it's for those around us, right? Okay.
I remember growing up hearing the testimony of my mom. She'd always tell it how she got saved. It was last year or a year and a half ago. My parents ended up coming, and they came on a Sunday I was speaking, and I got to share their testimonies, and that was really cool. But one of the things that I remember her talking about was, before she knew the Lord, she just felt like she was always searching. If you guys were here for this testimony, it was funny because my parents would go, they were like, I think we should probably try to go to church. We're not quite sure. You know, they had a background of substance abuse, and they were living together at the time, and they're just like, I don't know, I think we should just search for whatever it is that we're looking for. And so they would go to church to church to church, and they go to different places and experience different things. And it wasn't until this one time that my mom went by an invitation of a friend, and knowing that she had like this deep cavity in her heart, right? Like no matter what she would try to fill her life with, there was just something that was missing, or something that was off, and she went by invitation with a friend. And there was a man that was standing in front, and he started preaching the good news of the gospel. And then he started to, seemingly what she finds now, to be prophesying straight to her, telling her everything that she had done in her life. And she was a little bit offended because she had thought her friend had set her up, right? And just told the preacher so that she would come to church and, you know. And so he gives this message of salvation and just says, if this is you, if you want Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. And for some reason, she didn't, if you remember the story, she couldn't hear what he was saying, or she was distracted or something. And as she's turning to say, what did he say? Her hand shoots up. And she looks at her hand and she starts crying, you know. And that day she gave her life to Jesus, and she went from an old, tired, worn out, stretched out wineskin filled by all of these other things to a new wineskin filled with the Holy Spirit, his presence, and the good news of the kingdom. And from that day forward, she was changed, and she still tells her testimony to this day of how Jesus came and rescued her. And then she goes home to my dad, who I think was, who's either drunk or high or something, I don't remember. And she felt like what she now can identify as the Holy Spirit, but she was so new. She was just, she kind of walked in past the door where he was at in the living room and into the room and was just crying like, oh my goodness, I've given my life to Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And my dad comes in high as a kite and goes, what's going on? Are you okay? And she's like, yes, I just became a new born again believer. And he goes, aw. and it wasn't until maybe that a couple years later that my dad gave his life to the Lord, and he was radically saved and changed. And so I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Told you guys that the word today is pretty short. So I just want to say with these scriptures, okay, how do we respond? How can we respond to this? So if we're saying for today's teaching that the wine is the gospel, it's the good news of the kingdom, it's his presence, his glory. Okay, then what is the gospel? Well, Mark 1:15, it says that Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. It's the kingdom of God. There's a quote by, his name is Rich. I'm going to say his last name wrong after I told you guys how to say our last name. Viotis. And he says, the gospel is the good news that God's kingdom has come near through Jesus, and through his life, death, resurrection, and enthronement, the powers of Satan, sin, and death no longer have the last word. So God is perfect. In our sin, which is missing the mark of God's standards and the things that we say, do, or think, has separated us from him, right? And there is no amount of good things that we could do to make up the difference or the gap between our sin and the perfection of God. And so God sent his son Jesus to live a sinless life in the form of a man. He then was crucified and took all of our sin. And the story doesn't end there, because after 3 days, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. And the blood of Jesus is sufficient to wash away your sins. And with a sincere heart, we can come to him and come to Christ. And he washes all of that away. He comes to make us new. And we can make an intimate and personal commitment to Christ today. You just have to receive and believe in your heart. Isn't that good news? Okay, so then the wineskin, it represents us, our worldview, our understanding, our belief system. And so when we were talking about like the wineskin before, that it's only used once. And like I love what Jason was saying is that like we don't, like the gospel doesn't bend around us. We flex and we move according to the gospel. That when we allow our lives to be emptied out and we become this new wineskin, the new creature and new creation in Jesus, he fills us with his spirit and he fills us and it starts to grow and reshape us, reshape our belief system, our heart, our hurts, our wounds. The way that we've looked at life before now becomes changed because now we're looking through the lens of Jesus, but it seeps through the pores of every part of that goat skin and then it changes it, right? And then it becomes an offering. And what comes poured out of that goat skin is becomes sufficient for others. And we're talking about either having goat milk or unclean water or wine of that day. And so when we come to Jesus, what we do is we admit that we're a sinner in need of a savior who is Jesus. We believe that he is the Son of God who was crucified and then resurrected, in whom salvation is found in no other. And then we confess that he is Lord and that we'll give our lives to follow him. Okay, so then maybe there's some of us in here who probably recognize, okay, I am a follower of Jesus, but I do have a wineskin that feels a little stretched out. I feel like I'm a little bit stretched out. I feel like I need the new wine of the Holy Spirit to fill me. And I want to know what that is to be flexed to the gospel of Jesus and not just to my own way. We were talking in staff about through the book of Galatians and how it was... What Paul was addressing was a false teaching that was coming into the church of legalism plus the gospel. And he was very explicit and he was very, very adamant in saying that the gospel plus anything else is not the gospel at all. And so sometimes I feel as though like we can get, you know, Jason was talking about the busyness of life, our offense, our unforgiveness, our bitterness, the things that fill us, our social media, all the copers, all the things that we talk about have left us tired and stretched out. And I feel like the Lord wants to just refresh us this morning. And so what I want us to do is... I do want us to have a time of responding again, just like we did earlier. But first, I want us to sing this song, New Wine. And then we'll go from there. Is that okay?